So welcome again to Edgewater. We're really glad you guys are here. This is going to be a different kind of Sunday, and I'll tell you a little bit more why. But let me first give a couple announcements. Tonight is the pastor's dessert. If you would like to, you can sign up for that. It's a chance for Becky and I want to invite you guys over to our house. It's a chance for us to share a story about Edgewater. You can ask any questions you want. It gives us a chance to hear your story as well. So if you're interested in coming to dessert tonight at 7 p.m. at our house, on your communication card, will you just write the word dessert, and that will let us know. And if you have kids that are coming, just let us know their ages so we can get appropriate child care as well. Any questions about that? Great. Another fun piece of news is one of the teenagers in our church, she's not here today, but her name is Casey. She wants to get baptized here at Edgewater, so we're going to have our first baptism service. We're thinking it will be the last Sunday of April, but some plans are still in the work. But I'm letting you know that because I want you to say the date. But also, there's some of you who have become Christians recently but haven't had the chance to be baptized yet. And if that's something you want, there's time for you to get baptized that day as well. So I'm going to give you guys, as the weeks progress, I'll give you some opportunities to sign up for that as well. So that's some of what's going on. Let's pray again. Let me pray before we start. Lord, thank you for being here. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. God, we want to worship you. And we thank you for community, Lord. And I know that people are coming here with mixed weeks. Some of us have had wonderful weeks. Some of us are coming in very heavy. And in either case, Lord, we pray that we would be able to give our burdens over to you and know that you're good and receive your Spirit and leave empowered. And we pray this in your name. Amen. If you would, take out your message notes. They're in your worship guide there. And we are in the middle of a series called Dependable. And it was motivated by Easter Sunday when we realized that Jesus told his followers that he would rise from the dead. And when he did, there was a sense that he was actually dependable. So we started talking about what does it look like to live like Jesus would want us to live when it comes to being dependable. And today we're going to talk about developing compassion in an angry world. And how this is going to be different is this is going to kind of be more like a fireside chat. So you notice I'm sitting down, relaxed. We don't have a fire. And well, there's two differences. We don't have a fire, and it's not a chat because I'll be doing most of the talking. But at the end of it all, we're going to have a question and answer session. It'll be a time for us to dialogue, to hear from each other as well. And so that will kind of be the feel. One of the things that happened when Jesus was dying on the cross, and you guys, how many of you have seen The Passion of Christ, the movie The Passion of Christ? So yeah, you guys had that. Perhaps one of the most amazing parts of the movie for me, and actually one of the amazing parts in the Bible, was that when Jesus was getting tortured, when he was getting crucified, when he was getting nailed to the cross, when people were yelling evil things at him, he had every reason to be revengeful, angry, disappointed. But if you look on your outline, this was his prayer. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And the people who heard him pray that thought, uh-oh, this guy might be who he says he is, because no one could respond like that after what he's just been through. Can you imagine people hitting you, abusing you, putting nails in your hands, yelling things at you, calling you names, and the whole time you have an attitude of compassion towards them? That's amazing. That's amazing. And we live in a world that's very angry. Lots of anger going on. And if we want to mimic Jesus, we want to see that anger but respond with compassion. So we're going to talk about how we develop compassion in an angry world. So how many of you have been angry this week at some point? Just raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you're probably lying right now, because I think we've all been angry. You know, and Becky and I were talking Friday morning. We don't know what happened, but we woke up and we were just snapping at each other all morning. We're like, what happened? And I thought, well, this is a little awkward that I'm preaching on developing compassion, because right now I'm really angry with you. But we worked it out. Praise God. We're happy. But anger is a fact of life. Things come up that really get us angry, and we're all in the same boat here. And so the passage we're going to look at today is from Matthew 5, 21 through 22, and it's in your outline. And it goes like this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.'" Now, some background here. Jesus is speaking to a very religious society, people who valued religiosity and doing the right thing, all the ceremonies. And one of the things that they measured their worth on is how well they obeyed the law. And one of the things they said is, as long as we don't murder anyone, we're okay. Now, how many of you guys have heard that? In fact, I hear that all the time. When people talk about, I'm a good person, what do they always say? If they say, I'm a good person, what do they say right after that? I haven't murdered anybody, right? That seems to be the standard, right? Is if I'm either a bad person or a good person, and murder is that line, okay? So as long as I'm above murder, I'm doing okay, right? And we hear that all the time. I'm a good person. I haven't murdered anyone. Now, the funny thing is, if you go to jail and talk to people who have murdered, what do they say? I'm a good person because I murdered, but because this person did something. There's always a line, right? There's always a line, but you always set it lower than where you're at. It's like, I'm always a good person because I haven't done this, and I just lower the bar each time. So Jesus is talking to a group of people that believe in the law, says, do not murder. And Jesus is saying, you've heard this. Then he goes on and says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. So Jesus is saying, okay, your line is murder, but let me tell you what's really going on. The line is, have you ever been angry with somebody? That's the line you need to be drawing. And all of a sudden, all the people who are sitting high above the line of murder are like, uh-oh, this line is way above who I am. I can never be like this. But Jesus is dealing with that. Now, here's the difference between religion and relationship with Jesus. Religion is all about ceremony. What have I done and what have I not done? Have I gone to church? Have I not gone to church? Have I gotten baptized? Have I not gotten baptized? And what happens with religiosity is we begin to do these minimal requirements and we think we're good people. But Jesus in spirituality is so different. He's not looking at our externals. He's looking at who we are internally in our character. He's saying, okay, yeah, you've never murdered, but have you ever been angry with somebody? Yeah, you go to church all the time, but you love your enemy. And God, through Jesus, begins to redefine what it means to be a follower of him. And it's not about externals. It's not about doing the right thing and going to the right places at the right times. But who are you? And the standard that Jesus set is higher than any of us can accomplish. And if anything, it should make us humble rather than feeling like, oh yeah, we've got it down. We're good people. Make sense? So Jesus is talking to people like that. And he goes on to say, if anyone is angry with his brother, he'll be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, and I'm assuming that none of you have said Raca to anyone, so you're probably safe. But back then, Raca meant you idiot. It was a term of contempt. I couldn't use an equal word in church. Let me say, there are words in the English language, but I can't use them right now. But that's the kind of word that Jesus, if you call someone that word, you're answerable to the Sanhedrin. Back then, the Sanhedrin was similar to the Supreme Court of our day. So he's saying, if you call someone X, Y, and Z, that you're going to the Supreme Court. That's how serious it is. And then he goes to say, but if anyone who says, you fool, now I use that one a lot, you fool, you'll be in the danger of the fire of hell. So Jesus is upping the ante here. It's not have you murdered or not, but who are you and what is your heart towards other people? That's the standard. That's the standard. So I want to talk about this because anger is part of our life. We are always in an angry world. Now, here's a little interesting thing, and you probably know this, but whenever a murder occurs, if you study what happened, it's always precipitated by anger. Anger always happens first. And Jesus knows that anger is the root of murder. And so, okay, you haven't crossed the murder line, but do you have the root of what anger is, of what murder is in your heart? And that's what he's looking at. So let me just talk about two facts about anger. Anger always comes from frustrated expectations. Anger always comes from expectations that are frustrated or unmet expectations. When you have an expectation of somebody and they don't follow through, that's what happens with anger. You know, I can't remember what Becky and I thought about Friday morning. Isn't that good? We've forgiven and forgotten. But my guess is, I did something that didn't match Becky's expectation, and Becky did something that didn't match mine, and that's what starts it all. And that's just an interesting thing to know, because when you are feeling angry, you want to identify what was my expectation, how come this person didn't follow through. Number two is this. Not all anger is bad. Not all anger. In fact, Jesus got angry. God gets angry. So number two is anger at injustice is good. Anger at injustice is good. There is a time to be angry that's really appropriate. It's very appropriate. And that time to be angry is when you see marginalized people of society, the poor, the outcast, being abused, being mistreated, being taken advantage of, being oppressed. that is a wonderful time to get angry. Because here's the thing. C.T. Vivian, he's a civil rights activist, he said this, that often when we see bad things happen to people who are marginalized, we feel sad. Oh, that's a shame that that happened. That's too bad that that happened. But he said that sadness never motivates to action. It's anger at injustice that motivates someone to do something about it. So there's something really good about seeing the poor, the outcast being taken advantage of and saying, that is not right and I'm angry about it, because that will be what motivates you to action. Any of you see Hotel Rwanda? Do you remember that movie, Hotel Rwanda? There was a part where the reporter was filming all these atrocities, and he was sending the film over to the U.S., and the Rwandans were very happy. Like, oh, good, the Americans will see this, and they'll do something about this. And he said, I wish that was true, but what will probably happen is they'll see it and go, oh, that's too bad, what a shame, and turn off their television. Sadness doesn't lead to action. Anger does. And Jesus got angry at injustice all the time. In fact, in Mark 3:5, there's a situation that I'll describe. There's a man who has a shriveled hand. We don't exactly know what it means, but some type of handicap on his hand. And Jesus was going to heal him. Well, the problem was it was Saturday. And in the Jewish religion, you don't do any work on Saturday. And so the religious people said, look at this man who has a shriveled hand, and Jesus might heal him on Saturday. Let's see if he does that so we can get him in trouble. And Jesus is angry. He's like, you care more about this Saturday law than you do this guy who can't use his hand. That is wrong. And so in this verse, Mark 3:5, he says, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Anger, not all anger is bad. There is good anger, and anger and injustice is good. So the question is, how do you know whether the anger you feel from a day-to-day is good anger or bad anger? Well, I want to give you a couple tests. You guys ready for this? Here's some questions to ask yourself. Okay, number one is, who do I talk about negatively in front of others? Who do I talk about negatively in front of others? You are probably angry at that person, and it's probably not good anger. That would be called sinful anger. This is called gossip. In other words, when someone gets you angry, what you should do is talk to the person about it. But what we tend to do is talk to everyone but that person about it, right? We go around to everyone that will listen to us because misery loves company, and we'll complain about that person. So if you are talking negatively about another person to a person other than that person, that is sinful anger. That's a good indicator. The other indicator, the other test is, who do I enjoy hearing negative comments about? Who do I enjoy hearing negative comments about? So, you know, someone comes up to you and says, so-and-so, they really got me angry. And you just feel so happy that someone else feels the exact same anger you do. And you love those people. In fact, people who you normally wouldn't like become your best friends because they hate the same people you do. That's a sign of sinful anger. That's a good test. Who are you talking negatively about, and who do you enjoy hearing negative comments about? That is sinful anger. Now, we're going to get a little vulnerable, not too, but what I did is I want us to share a little bit, not names, because that wouldn't be appropriate, especially if you're sitting next to the person you're angry with, but around, I have four pieces of paper up. There's one right here, there are two in the back, and there's one up here on the stage, and they all say the same thing on the top. They all say, I get angry when people, ... So I get angry when people speak badly about me. I get angry when people don't follow up. Whatever it is, I want each of us to go up. There's pens around. I want each of us to go up and write down one thing that gets you angry. When people do what? Okay? Make sense? Don't put names. Don't put my name especially. But go ahead and just spend a little time doing that. And is there any way to get music going? Maybe in the back? Can we get some music going as we do that? Okay. So go ahead and some angry music maybe. Do you have anything that can get us pumped up? But go ahead and spend some time around. Get up your seats. There's pens next to these white things, and go ahead and fill that out. I'd love everyone to do that.